Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome. Sit back and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us we have Robert Lee Barber. 13 years ago, Robert had an epiphany. He would come to understand that if he wanted to create his life to be all that he desired, he would need to walk the walk of a CEO in his everyday life and take full responsibility for everything he had and didn't have at that point. He would need to fire some people from his life that were toxic and not be supportive of his vision and his mission. Robert realized that, in fact, the need to become the CEO of his life for life was happening for him now. So Robert shares his journey with you and also his best-selling book, which is just a wonderful tool for everyone's life, CEO for Life. Robert, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
I'm super excited to talk to you. We had a few seconds off air to talk, and I know we have a lot in common, so I'm super excited about this, Vicki.
Oh, I am too, and I'm so excited to introduce you and all the amazing things that you're doing and contributing out there to the world, to our audience. So, Robert, tell us a little bit more about your background, because it's so intriguing, and how you went through such a discovery, a journey.
Absolutely. We'll start with, I guess, kind of where the beginning is, and I talk about it in the book, is my mom was 17 when she had me. We basically grew up together. She's a single mom. I never had any plans of going to college as I was coming out of school, but through circumstances, I ended up going to college, and through that process, became an electrical engineer for no other reason than I liked math and they made good money, right? and so that began my career adventure. Within 3 years of doing engineering, I realized it wasn't my lifelong passion. And I was still young enough, just had got married. And so I thought I'd make a change. And I loved people. People had always been a passion for me. I just was so interesting. So I decided to try and get into human resources. I was actually turned down for a job. The director of HR actually said, engineers make horrible human resources people. So I was like, okay then. But through that process, the company I was working for had started a new startup venture. And basically they said, if you want to try this, then you can try it. But if it folds, then you're out of a job. And I was like, okay, well, I'll try it. And so that started my venture into human resources. And so I spent time doing that and loving it. It was absolutely one of the most rewarding times in my life. I got to work with very, very high-level executives, build organizations, merge organizations, start from scratch organizations. But through that process, I was traveling a whole lot and had a young family. And so I then decided to pivot again. And I wanted to start my own business. So in 2006, I jumped into commercial real estate. 2007 and 8, I almost went broke because of the downturn. But all through this process, what I began to learn is that you've got to keep stepping forward. And this idea of CEO for life began to percolate. It didn't have the label at the time, but it began to percolate with me is that at the end of the day, everything that I was learning from the people that were around me, there was these common themes. They had a vision. They had mission. They had goals. They knew who to surround themselves with. They knew how to set boundaries and say no to people. They knew how to communicate very well. They knew how to deal with the firestorms that are coming. All of these things, and I began to see them weave. And, you know, through that process, through 2008 and to 2019, built a company with two other partners. We did $917 million in sales when I exited, and then I started out coaching. But through this process, again, the themes of CEO for life came to me, and I said, I've got to put this down on paper.
It's really wonderful that you came to this whole transition and transformation in your life, because I started out possibly even earlier than you did, working with a lot of people within HR, doing consulting for process reengineering, also with really big companies all over the world. And HR wasn't recognized as being important because it wasn't a profit center. And the first time I ever saw HR mentioned in an annual report, it shocked me, because it was a sign that people were going the right direction, where the real culture of the company lies. It certainly lies in the C-suite, but especially in HR. And you were able to take that and pivot that and transition that into something that is so amazing outside of the corporate realm for people all over the world. And as a result of that, you wrote a book, and it became bestseller. So tell us a little bit about how the book came about.
Sure. Just a little piggyback on your story, Vicki. So one of the main things, the impetus for making that change to jump into an entrepreneurial role, was I was negotiating labor contracts on billion-dollar plants that we were building. And my impact was just as much as, you know, some of the other people. And right, wrong, indifferent, I knew what everyone else got paid because I was in HR, right? And I had one of the operations people tell me, oh, you're in human resources, you know, you're just back office, you don't really impact. And, you know, until you own your own business, you'll never know. And literally that set a fire in me. I was like, well, heck, you know what? I'll go do that. You know, so anyway, I feel you on that one, Vicki. But obviously HR has come a long way over the years. I mean, it has been recognized as a player at the table. So, but to get back to the book in itself, in 2019, I decided to exit the company that I was with, and this was in June of that time. And I happen to be a person that when I start to get really comfortable, it makes me uncomfortable. And so I was really, really comfortable. We've grown this great company. We had 225 agents, 13 offices. We were number one in every category and selling real estate, and I had great partners. I had come to a point where I wasn't being fulfilled, and I felt like I needed a new call. And so I decided to exit and pick up my family and move from Tampa, Florida to Chattanooga, Tennessee. I wanted to be in the mountains, and so we did. And along those lines, I began to put down on paper the thoughts of CEO for life, because I had to go through the thought process of making this decision. And I had to look at my shareholders. I had to look at my partners. I had to look at my finances. I had to look at what the vision and mission and goal was going to be out of this, what I was going to say no to, what was I going to set some boundaries for us as a family. I had to go through that whole process again. I was like, this is the same thing as running a company. Your life and your business, they're the same. And I came up with this thought process of the workplace and the life place. When you can weave the workplace and the life place together and have a continuity of mindset, you can really excel and do some incredible things.
That is so beautiful. And I also love the concept of being CEO of your life, because you talk about the accepting responsibility, as we mentioned in the intro. And to me, that's where people really do transform, is when they start accepting total responsibility for everything they do and everything that life brings them as a result of that. Could you perhaps elaborate on that a little bit? Because I think that's such a beautiful part of your story.
Sure. In the first chapter of the book, I get that right out up front, is that the CEO for life, you were born in that role. You can't delegate it. You can't give it to somebody else. You can't hire somebody. You can't be fired from it. It is you. You are the one that has to make the decisions. And if you don't have a framework from which in to create that decision-making process, you're going to flounder. I talk about the roller coaster. So the last 13 years, I was in commissions real estate, right? And so we are a commission company. And what I would preach to all of our agents and the people I coached was, you've got to get out of the roller coaster. You've got to squish it. And the only way you can squish it, going back to my engineering days, is to bring process and framework to how you do your work. And that's the same thing with life, is you are not going to be able to give away the role and responsibility of being the CEO for your life.
Yeah, absolutely. That responsibility factor, I just really love that part. So did you have any challenges in writing the book? I'm just wondering, because we have a number of authors that may be stuck at one place or another in really getting your book out. Was there anything challenging for you, or did it flow fairly smoothly?
Sure. Anyone that's listening to this that is an author, I know, Vicki, you obviously worked with a lot of people and getting them to the success side of getting their word out. The first thing I want to tell you is I love you as an author. It's extremely difficult, but if it wasn't difficult, it wouldn't be as rewarding as it is. And so I would challenge you to, again, think about being a CEO for your life as you author, in that don't do it alone. First and foremost, I highly recommend that you share your thoughts and ideas with people that are around you and get feedback. One of the first things I did going through this process is I put together a survey, and I surveyed people around me, stages of life, and asked them about my concept, and they gave me feedback. And it's actually at the end of the book. If you get the book, you'll see their actual responses. So getting feedback and letting other people pour into your idea is important. And then the second thing is find yourself a publisher. I can tell you that I self-published a book a few years ago just because I wanted to. I wanted to go through that experience, and having a publisher this time around meant everything. It created a quality and a level of output that I'm very, very proud of. And so those are the two things, Ms. Vicki.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Such great tips. And I'm a big proponent of both the more of the traditional route of publishing and also the idea of self-publishing. And I think it depends on where you're at in your journey and what you really see for yourself. And it does give you some tremendous structure to get that necessary help. But even more importantly, what you were talking about with the idea of surrounding people with you, your journey does not have to be a lonely one. And I think that whether people are writing a memoir, they're writing a self-help book, they're writing something aimed at executives or a children's book, all of that has to do with your experience. And your experience is compiled with the experiences of people who have touched your life. That's how you've learned and how you've become in a position to share your knowledge. And so it's really an important thing to realize that, to be able to call on help when you need it. So thank you for making that point, because I think that's so important. I think the passion has to be there for what you're doing in a book, but I think anything that you don't know how to do or you don't want to do, you can hire or you can find someone to fill those gaps.
Yep, exactly. Exactly right. I'm reading a book right now. It's called Chop Wood, Carry Water. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but the entire book is about falling in love with the process. Love the process, even the hard part of the process, even the parts that suck. Just love all of it, because when you get to the end, and this is where I'm at, right? So I've published this book. It's become a bestseller, blah, 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 and talking to people now and everything else. I kind of am a little depressed and I miss the process. I mean, I loved going through the process as hard as it was.
Well, it may be a time for a second book here right away.
my wife is going to kill me, Vicki.
Well, most people have more than one book in them, but I think they all have at least one book. We all do. And it's important to get that out.
I wish everyone would write. I really do. I wish everyone would just spend the time and put their words into the world. I think it would be a better place.
Oh, there's no question in my mind. I mean, that's what we live for, is the whole idea of encouraging people in every way we can to get their story out. Because I believe it's not only a right, it's also a responsibility. I talked with a coach years and years ago. She had a very interesting background, but she was also an incredible writer. And she was a nun turned neuroscientist when she left the nunnery. She used to say that the world needs your story. Every story has a piece. And to me, it reminds me of a jigsaw puzzle. And all the pieces are different. But if your piece is missing, then that puzzle can't be complete. No one else can complete it. So it's really, really important. So tell us some of the top tips in your book. Maybe people are looking at this and going, wow, CEO is like a big word. CEO of my life. Where do I even start with that?
It's funny that you bring that up, is because, again, in the first chapter of the book, I took a bunch of different job descriptions of what companies were looking for in a CEO, and I combined and blended them together. And if you go through and you actually read what a job description is for a CEO and you were to lay that on top of your life, you'll be shocked about how many of the roles, responsibilities, accountabilities, and description actually plays into your life. It is very, very similar. So that's the first thing I would say is don't ever downplay the importance of the role that you're playing, not only in your life, but the ripple effect that you have in so many others. Don't downplay any of that. That's the first thing I would say. The next thing is, I would say, in terms of dreaming, a lot of times we've all been exposed pretty much now. Let's all have a vision board. Let's all cast vision. Let's put it all down on paper, those kind of things. And one of the things I think that we're missing and that I write about in the book is, as a CEO, and you've been around them and I've been around plenty, is they think vision in terms of decades, right? I mean, they're thinking, where are we going to take this company 20 years from now, 30 years from now? What are we doing today to set it up for the next four CEOs after me, or those kind of things? And so I specifically want people to think bigger and think longer and think generationally. And this is whether you're an individual contributor, whether you're a home caretaker, or whatever role you're playing currently in life, dream generationally, dream longer when you're beginning to cast your vision of what you want for your life. And I think that's an important tip to take down.
That is important. And I think, you know, we get so caught up in the moment that we tend to think oftentimes more tactically. And I think both you and I have had to play both sides of that, because when you're dealing with the visionaries that are in the C-suite, and then you look at what that means to actually implement that in the real world, implement their vision, you have to look at both sides. And I think it's important that both of those sides are definitely explored by people living their lives, everyone.
And when you do that,
that's a wonderful tip.
Yeah. And when you do that, it'll be amazing how you step up and how those around you step up when you do that. Everyone's familiar with Elon Musk at this point in time, right? I think he famously said, we're going to go to the moon and we're going to figure out how to do it within 6 months, right? And he said, you know, I knew we were never going to do it, but everybody stepped up. The entire organization stepped up in such a way that they were going to try. And so it's okay to dream really, really big. Give expectation that we're going to do it in a short amount of time and watch what happens. People are so capable, Vicki. We're so capable of such greatness.
Yeah. And it's funny, he came to mind immediately when you were sharing just a minute ago, because he's really one of the great minds of our time, if not the greatest. And it's so wonderful to see him moving things the way he does and moving people along with it in the most positive fashion. So sure. That is really wonderful. Yeah. We live in such interesting times on all levels, don't we?
We do. We really do.
So tell us a little bit about when you wrote the book, what you were hoping people would take away from it.
Sure. Specifically, I wrote the book and structured the book in mind that throughout each chapter, there's activities and there's opportunities where you can write in the book, where I take each idea and I break it down and ask people to actually take the words that they just read and put them into action. So if we're talking about specifically in the first chapter about your mindset, there's activities in there. Where is your head right now? What are your successes currently? And also, what are your regrets? Because if you can't identify those regrets and you're holding on to them, they're going to hold you back. And as you move through each chapter, there's different, like I said, activities and discoveries. And so what I'd like to see is that I'd love to meet somebody someday, somewhere, and them actually show me the book and actually say, you know what, I went through this and it made a difference. And that's my hope.
Oh, that's so lovely. So would you like to share a personal story maybe that really was life-changing for you, an event that happened that people may be able to identify with?
Sure. Oh, boy. Gosh.
There's many, I'm sure.
Yeah, no. I would say there's a couple. And as I mentioned before when I opened up this, is that my mom, she was a single parent. She raised me. An incredible businesswoman, an incredible woman in general, just impactful for the world. In 2018, I lost her unexpectedly. And I never got to say goodbye. And it was really, really tough on me from that standpoint. She was an instrumental part of my, what I call shareholders, the people that pour into you. And so I guess what I would share with everybody that's listening to this right now is in the book, I ask you to go through and actually look at who you're hiring and firing in your life. So take account of those special people in your life and make sure that you're spending time with them because they're pouring into you and allow them to pour into you. You may not agree with them with a lot of things, but it's good to have great shareholders around you and take account for what they're doing for you and pouring into you. So that's one thing that comes to mind, Miss Vicki.
Oh, I love that. And I love the idea that basically it's like the idea of open communication. Mm-hmm. And I love what I do so much because a good part of it now is interviewing and working with authors in various different ways. And there are so many different ideas that come in. And in order for an interview to be good, you really need to be able to be open to new concepts. And it's wonderful because you may feel that you feel a certain way about something. And I've had interviews alone make me rethink positions on various different things that are really important in life and certainly open up to other people's ideas and their thoughts and their wisdom. It's a wonderful gift. Really,
yeah,
a great
suggestion. It's obvious. Yeah, it's obvious in our time together that you obviously care. You care about me, right? I can tell that. And you're interested in hearing what I have to say. So I think that's awesome. I definitely think you're on point with your passion for sure.
Yeah. And I think as you pointed out, the really important thing is to apply that now because there's such a lack of communication that's really rich with those things. And it's so easy to do. I think all we have to do is apply some curiosity.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, I do too. So tell me how curiosity may have expanded your life.
Oh, absolutely. For me, curiosity has always been, when I went to my business partners, we'd been together for 13 years and everything, been through some of the worst times in the market and the best times in the market and had plenty to go through. And when I came to them and told them that I wanted to sell and exit, they were shocked. They talked me out of it twice. But my curiosity for the discomfort in life was super important to this entire process. I think that the more discomfort you have, the more growth you're going to have. And that requires curiosity, right? I mean, you have to be curious about the things that scare you a little bit or a little bit dangerous, have some risk associated with them, calculated risk, of course. But the curiosity is where you're going to grow. I have a really good friend of mine, Michael Mishu. He shared with me one time, and I've always carried this, is we were having a discussion, and he goes, Rob, have you ever climbed to a mountaintop? And I said, yeah, I've been on mountaintops. He's like, so what grows on a mountaintop? I was like, I don't know, not much, moss and some rocks. And he's like, well, where's the growth? And I was like, well, it's all down in the valley. And he goes, that's exactly right. All the growth happens in the valley, and that's true for life. The mountaintop is beautiful. It's great to look around. It's great to sit and soak it in. But the real journey's in the valley, and you got to be curious to travel that route.
Yeah, that is so true. And I'm a sailor. I lived on a sailboat for a number of years going way back, and they always used to laugh and joke sailors about power boaters because they would say people either want to get there fast or they want to get there and enjoy the journey. And I'm a real enjoy the journey person. So I can totally relate to that. So tell me a little bit about how this applies to your personal life, because we've talked a lot about business and so forth, and we've alluded to the fact that being CEO for life is very effective, definitely in business applications. But can you be more specific about that, how that works in personal applications?
Sure. I'll use very specifically my story. So here I am, a partner in a very successful real estate company, could just sat and cruise that out. But I had a different vision for my life. And this is my family's life, right? I had a daughter who was in college. I had a daughter that was getting ready to go into high school. My wife and I sat down and we talked about really what do we want for the next stage in our life. And so we started setting a vision. And a vision for us was one where we would create an adventure for our entire family for this next stage. We had a good 13-year segment. Now we were getting closer to our 50s. Our kids were getting a bit older. so we started recasting our vision for our life. And so we sat that down and then we said, okay, well, in order to create this next great adventure for the next decade of our life, what does the mission look like? What does the goals look like? And will it support our value structure? So it's no different than a CEO sitting down with their board or their key directors and saying the same thing, but we did it for our life. And so my wife and I, we actually were planning on moving to Nashville, and then a friend told us about Chattanooga. And I'll be honest with you, Vicki, I said, what the hell is in Chattanooga? I have no idea. I know there's a choo-choo train, but that was about it. So I came here on a scouting trip for our family, and quite honestly, I went hang gliding. I met a ton of different people here, business people. I met some real estate folks, went and looked at some houses. I went hiking and just backpacking every day, and I was like, okay, well, this is a good place for us. And so then we then set our vision in place for that. It was a great place for my youngest daughter to start high school. And so all of these things began to feed into our life place, right? Our vision, mission, goals, values. Everything fell into place. And so we set a plan in place and we've executed on it. We've been here a year and a half now, and our lives have been absolutely wonderful because of it.
Wow. That's incredible. We too have uprooted to our home in Mexico full time. And we had a home in New Mexico and nice. In Mexico. And we love Mexico so much. We just decided to permanently stay for the last couple years. And it's been a decision that we have not regretted. So that's, again, part of that whole adventure.
But whether you realize it or not, right, Vicki, you went through the process of what is the vision for us, right?
Yes.
What is our mission? How do we set the goals in order to make this happen? And does it fit within the values of what we want? You mentally go through that in conducting yourself as a CEO for your life.
Yes, it's wonderful. And to go through that with awareness, which is what your book allows people to do in your teaching is really wonderful, because we go through it, but the awareness is really the important part that empowers us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you were to look at all the work that you're doing, and certainly the work you've done in your past, and now the book that is going out all over the world to share these ideas globally, when you look at that, if you were to think of that as a legacy, what would that look like for you?
Boy, legacy.
I know, a big word.
legacy. I think at this point in time, first and foremost, is I hope that everyone takes away from everything that I'm doing in my life right now to understand that they have a gift that is they are the CEO for their life, right? From that, you have such an impact on so many other people's lives. I reference it as the ripple, right? So just as a stone in a lake, those ripples can go on endlessly, right? Until they hit the other shores. And so you being a sailor, obviously understanding the wind and the waves and how all that works, that's the same thing. My legacy, I hope, is that my life has some ripple, and this book has some ripple that goes on for a long time.
I love that. The ripple effect. And we just never know how far that goes. We may never know how many lives we touched, but to just go in with that intent, if we even touch one life, it's a miracle in the work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. So the time we've had together has been so rich. And
awesome.
Robert, if people would like to get a hold of you or connect with you for more information, I know they can find CEO for Life on Amazon and other book distributors, but how would they connect with you online?
The best way to find me is on LinkedIn, and I'm on LinkedIn quite a lot. It's a great place to connect with people. So you can find me at LinkedIn at Robert Lee Barber. That's the best way. I'm on there just about every morning and every night. So you can DM me through that process, and that's the easiest way to do it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the generosity of your time and the generosity of all of your wisdom today. It was really delightful.
No, Vicki, thank you for taking the time to share people's stories. You are creating a ripple. I know it.
Thank you so much. That is definitely our goal. For all of you out there, if you would like to know more about Expert Insights, you can find us at mybookmybiz.com. You'll find out about our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities. And thank you so much for being here. And again, that's mybookmybiz.com. Everyone have a wonderful week.